Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. On today's program, Gregory Stockel reports on the dam collapse in Ukraine, and Faith Perlow reviews a message from a listener. Later, we listen to the next part in our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, here is Gregory Stockel.
The destruction of the Kakhovka Dam in Ukraine caused widespread flooding and might cause long-term environmental damage. The Associated Press described some of the effects on the Dnieper River area recently. Here is what the AP found. There are 6 dams along the Dnieper River. They were designed to operate together so that water levels would remain more or less the same throughout the year. When Russian forces seized the Kakhovka Dam, the system fell into disrepair. Whether done on purpose or carelessly, the Russian forces permitted water levels to rise and fall uncontrolled. They dropped dangerously low in winter and rose very high when snow melted and spring rains filled the reservoir. Since the dam's collapse, the running waters have unburied landmines, destroyed weapons and ammunition, and carried 150 tons of machine oil to the Black Sea. Whole towns were underwater, and thousands of animals died in a large national park now under Russian occupation. Oil can be seen on the water around flooded Kherson, the capital of southern Ukraine's province of the same name. Homes smell of rot as cars, first floor rooms, and underground floors remain underwater. Large oil slicks can be seen across the river from the city's port and industrial buildings, creating a new pollution problem for the Dnieper. Ukraine's agriculture ministry estimated 10,000 hectares of farmland were underwater in the territory of Kherson province controlled by Ukraine. It said many times more than that in territory occupied by Russia. Farmers are already having problems. Dmytro Neveselli, mayor of Marinska village, said everyone in the community of 18,000 people will be affected. Today and tomorrow, we'll be able to provide the population with drinking water, he said. After that, who knows? The canal that supplied our water reservoir has also stopped flowing. The water level began to decrease on Friday, showing the environmental damage. The reservoir could hold 18 cubic kilometers of water. The Kakhovka Dam was the last along hundreds of kilometers of the Dnieper River that passed through Ukraine's main industrial and agricultural areas. For many years, the Dnieper carried water containing industrial and agricultural chemicals, which settled in the soil at the bottom of the reservoir. Ukrainian officials are testing the soil for poisonous substances. It risks turning into poisonous dust with the arrival of summer, said Alhena Semenov. He is an environmental scientist with the Ukraine War Environmental Consequences Working Group, a nonprofit organization of environmental activists and researchers. The amount of long-term damage depends on the movement of the front lines in an unpredictable war. It is unclear if the dam and reservoir can be brought back or if the land will become what it once was. Katerina Filiuta is an expert in protected environments for the Ukraine Nature Conservation Group. She said it will take 10 years for the plant and animal populations to return and adjust to the new environment, and possibly longer for the Ukrainians who live there. In Mariinska, a farming community, people are going through records to find old water sources, because a territory without water will become a desert, the mayor said. All of Ukraine will have to think about either rebuilding the reservoir or thinking differently about the area, its water supply, its plants, and animals. Filiuta said, the worst consequences will probably not affect us directly, not me, not you, but rather our future generations, because this man-made disaster is not transparent. I'm Gregory Stockel.
A few weeks ago, we asked our readers and listeners to write about having guests over. Many of you wrote us using the words you learned. One reader, Gerardo, wrote to us about his cousin, Peter, coming for a visit. In this week's Everyday Grammar, we continue reviewing Gerardo's message and give additional suggestions about grammar.
On Saturday, we spent time catching up, talking about those beautiful days we played games and eating in the countryside when we were very young. We had dinner together, and then he left.
Let's start by making these last sentences into their own paragraph. Line 7 now becomes line 1 of the new paragraph.
On Saturday, we spent time catching up, talking about those beautiful days we played games and eating in the countryside when we were very young.
Gerardo starts this sentence off strongly with a transition. He uses the preposition on and the day of the week, Saturday, to tell us exactly when he met his cousin. Earlier, he said that he had invited his cousin over for the weekend. Moving from general to specific information helps readers understand the order of events. Gerardo uses a comma after the transition. Great job, Gerardo. We have a few suggestions for this sentence. There should be a conjunction between the gerunds, catching up, and talking. We can use the conjunction and. The sentence is also very long. We can break it up into two sentences. Think about moving from general to specific information as you write. The phrase, when we were very young, is a more general phrase that describes the time Gerardo and his cousin were discussing. We can add that information to the end of the new first sentence.
On Saturday, we spent time catching up and talking about those beautiful days when we were very young.
That leaves this part of the sentence.
We played games and eating in the countryside.
From this, we can create a new sentence.
We would play games and eat in the countryside.
We suggest changing the verbs here. In the new sentence, we added the modal verb would. It is the past tense form of will. We use would to show repeated actions in the past. We often use it when telling stories. It is used more in writing than casual speaking. After the modal verbs, we use the base form of the other verbs. So play and eating change to their base forms. This shows attention to the details of writing in the form of something called parallelism. Parallelism is the method of using similar forms to organize and structure a sentence, so it is easy to understand. Let's look at the final sentence.
We had dinner together, and then he left.
We suggest just two more changes. We can add a transitional phrase to the first part of the sentence. This will separate the time Gerardo and his cousin were remembering and the rest of their evening together. Since they were catching up, we can use the past tense of this phrasal verb and the preposition after for the transitional phrase. Lastly, we should add a comma between together and the rest of the sentence.
After we caught up, we had dinner together, and then he left.
Today, we reviewed the rest of Gerardo's message about his cousin's visit. We broke apart a long sentence into two. We added a conjunction, a comma, and transitions. We learned how to structure our writing better with parallelism in verbs. We even learned about would. Thank you, Gerardo, for sending your writing to us. I'm Faith Perlow.
I'm Brian Lynn.
And I'm Dorothy Gundy.
That was Faith Perlow with this week's Everyday Grammar. Welcome back to the show, Faith.
Thanks for having me back.
This week, you reviewed the second half of Gerardo's message.
We took the second half of the original message and made it into another paragraph. We looked at some grammatical elements.
You mentioned the idea of parallelism. Can you explain more about that?
Of course. Parallelism is using similar grammatical structures and sentences. We can think of it like repeating certain verb forms, nouns, and other structures so that our writing is clear and understandable. Here is an example of a sentence without parallelism. I wake up every morning to feed my cat and boiling water for tea. How can we make this sentence more consistent with the grammar?
Well, you have a list of activities you do every morning. So we want the verbs to be the same form. I wake up every morning, feed my cat, and boil water for tea. Is that correct?
Yes, Dan, that is perfect. In the original sentence, we had three different verb forms. The regular present tense, the infinitive form using to, and the ing form using a gerund.
By changing the verbs to the regular present tense, we created a parallel sentence.
That's right, Dan.
Thanks for taking us through another example of parallelism, Faith. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Stan. VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
Welcome to the Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. I'm Steve Embert. Ronald Reagan was finishing his second term. He was America's 40th president and one of the most popular. During his 8 years in office, many Americans did well financially. Many felt more secure about the future of the nation and the world. The possibility of nuclear war with the Soviet Union did not seem as great a threat as it had in the past. The Constitution limits presidents to 2 terms. So in 1988, the country prepared to elect a new chief executive. There were 3 main candidates for the Republican Party nomination. They were George Herbert Walker Bush, Bob Dole, and Pat Robertson. Bush had just served 8 years as Reagan's vice president. Dole was the top Republican in the Senate. Robertson was a conservative Christian who had his own television program. Ronald Reagan's popularity helped George Bush gain the Republican nomination. Neither Dole nor Robertson won enough votes in the primary election season to be a threat. Bush was nominated on the first vote at the party convention. The delegates accepted his choice for Vice President Senator Dan Quayle of Indiana. 8 candidates competed for the nomination of the Democratic Party. One of the candidates was Jesse Jackson, a black minister and political activist. He won about 25% of the delegates. He had also sought the nomination 4 years earlier. The Democrats chose Michael Dukakis, the governor of Massachusetts. His running mate was Senator Lloyd Benson of Texas. In public opinion surveys, Dukakis looked like a strong candidate after the party conventions. But then he began to lose popularity. Many observers said he had waited too long to launch a nationwide campaign. The candidates heavily attacked each other through campaign advertising on television. Dukakis came under attack from the Bush campaign, targeting his record as governor. Campaign ads said Dukakis had not been tough enough with criminals.
Bush and Dukakis on crime. Bush supports the death penalty for first-degree murderers. Dukakis not only opposes the death penalty, he allowed first-degree murderers to have weekend passes from prison. One was Willie Horton, who murdered a boy in a robbery, stabbing him 19 times. Despite a life sentence, Horton received 10 weekend passes from prison. Horton fled, kidnapped a young couple, stabbing the man and repeatedly raping his girlfriend. Weekend prison passes. Dukakis on crime.
Ads by the Bush campaign also said Dukakis would weaken America's military power. and they accused him of not protecting the environment by seeking a permit to dump sewage from Massachusetts off the coast of New Jersey.
The Environmental Protection Agency called Boston Harbor one of the dirtiest harbors in America. But not long ago, Governor Dukakis proposed a way to help clean it up by dumping Massachusetts sewage sludge off the New Jersey shore, just 106 miles from New York. Now Michael Dukakis says he wants to do for America what he's done for Massachusetts. New Jersey can't afford to take that risk.
I'm fed up with it. Never seen anything like it in 25 years of public life.
Dukakis fought back.
George Bush's negative TV ads, distorting my record. Full of lies, and he knows it.
Dukakis accused Bush of not telling the truth about his part in the secret sales of arms to Iran to finance Contra rebels in Nicaragua. He also criticized Bush for being part of an administration that reduced social programs.
I must have been living through a different 8 years from the one that the vice president's been living through, because this administration has cut and slashed and cut and slashed programs for children, for nutrition, or the kinds of things that can help these youngsters to live better lives. Has cut federal aid to education, has cut Pell Grants and loans to close the door to college opportunity on youngsters all over this country. And that, too, is a major difference between the vice president and me.
In the end, Bush's campaign succeeded in making Dukakis look weak on crime and defense. Dukakis did not help himself with a commercial in which he was looking out of a moving tank while wearing a large helmet. Many people made fun of the ad. On Election Day in November, Bush defeated Dukakis by almost 7 million votes. George Bush was sworn into office on January 20th, 1989.
No president, no government can teach us to remember what is best in what we are. But if the man you have chosen to lead this government can help make a difference, if he can celebrate the quieter, deeper successes that are made not of gold and silk, but of better hearts and finer souls, if he can do these things, then he must. We as a people have such a purpose today. It is to make kinder the face of the nation and gentler the face of the world. My friends, we have work to do.
George Bush was the son of a United States senator and had led a life of public service. He joined the Navy when America entered World War II. He flew attack planes. He was just 18 years old, at that time the youngest pilot the Navy ever had. He flew many bombing raids against the Japanese in the Pacific. He was shot down once and rescued by an American submarine. George Bush came home from the war as a hero. He became a university student and got married. He and his wife, Barbara, then moved to Texas, where he worked in the oil business. He ran for the United States Senate in 1964 and lost. 2 years later, he was elected to the House of Representatives. He ran for the Senate again in 1970 and lost again. But by that time, he had gained wider recognition. Over the next 8 years, he was appointed to a series of government positions. He was ambassador to the United Nations. He was chairman of the Republican National Committee. He was America's representative in China before the two countries had diplomatic relations. And he was head of the Central Intelligence Agency. In 1980, Bush ran against Ronald Reagan for the Republican nomination for president. Bush lost, but became Reagan's running mate. After two terms as vice president, he felt ready to lead the nation himself. The new president took 7 foreign trips during his first year in office. In Europe, Bush met with the other leaders of NATO the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. He proposed a major agreement on reducing troops and non-nuclear weapons in Europe. The Soviet Union considered his proposal an important step in the right direction. In June of 1989, the Chinese government sent tanks and troops to crush pro-democracy protests in Tiananmen Square in Beijing. Hundreds and perhaps thousands of demonstrators were killed. President Bush took some steps against China, but many critics felt the sanctions were not strong enough. In Central and Eastern Europe, communist governments also faced protests. Since 1987, Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev had let countries in the Warsaw Pact experiment with political and economic reforms. But those reforms were not enough to stop the fall of communist governments in one country after another. In the summer of 1989, President Bush visited Hungary and Poland. Both nations were trying to develop free market economies. Both were suffering as they moved away from central control.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
In Poland, the leader of the Solidarity Trade Union, Lech Wałęsa, led the push for reform. He would later become president of a democratic Poland.
Hier ist das Erste Deutsche Fernsehen mit der Tagesschau.
November of 1989 brought a dramatic expression of the changes taking place in Eastern Europe.
Guten Abend, meine Damen und Herren.
On November 9th, East Germany opened the wall that had divided it from the West since 1961.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight with Peter Jennings, reporting tonight from Berlin.
From the Berlin Wall specifically, take a look at them. They've been there since last night. They are here in the thousands. They are here in the tens of thousands. Occasionally they shout, Die Mauer muss weg, the wall must go. Thousands and thousands of West Germans come to make the point that the wall has suddenly become irrelevant. Something, as you can see, almost a party on. How do you measure such an astonishing moment in history? The East German government said tonight they were going to make more openings in the wall, at least a dozen more, put bulldozers right through the wall so that more people could cross to the West. The East German communist leadership tonight said there'd be a new election law guaranteeing secret elections which the rest of the world could monitor. And only 24 hours after East Germans were told they could go anywhere, anytime, the Soviet Union said that was a sensible move.
Within days, citizens and soldiers began tearing down the wall as the world watched with hope for a new era of peace.
Now, what's it feel like to be standing on top of the wall?
Incredible for me. It's I can't describe really my feelings. It's something unreal for me.
If there is someone who sleeps for 8 weeks and you told him what happened here, he thinks you're crazy. It's unthinkable. Put my number.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.